It's the Score North Twin Show.
All right, Score North extra innings for Game 2 of the ALCS between the Twins and White Sox here from Target Field. No, it's not going to be the ALCS. My God, if it was the ALCS, that would be phenomenal. I'm in the Legends Club right now. I usually go on the third base side, and I don't know. This could be potentially dangerous, but here's a look right now at the field. Let's see, make sure I'm not... Tarps on, rain coming down... Does this look okay visually, Ross? I had my laptop.
It looks great. You're right at home plate right now. And Declan, I would tell you this. Okay. When a team is struggling, even though the local nine came out and won a ball game on Monday night, this is obviously Tuesday, you got to do things to mix it up. And that's not just the team. That's the fans. That's
Mother
the reporters.
Nature too.
Yeah, that's the podcasters. This is your way of helping out to change the mojo around the Minnesota Twins. So I like it. Sources close to my weather app, Declan, will have no problem playing ball tonight.
Yeah, I think we'll be okay, too. So we'll see what happens at the 6:41st pitch. This is Extra Innings. My name is Declan Goff. That's Ross Brendel. You can expect Extra Innings content from night games before first pitch, kind of the opposite for afternoon games. You can expect content afterwards. And, Ross, I want to dive in here because, yes, the Twins did win a big ball game yesterday. They have three more against these White Sox. We'll get into some other bigger picture stuff later on. But I want to start here because the Twins are kind of starting to click a little bit with their left-handed bats. So Trevor Larnach has come up and made an impact. Alex Kirilloff has maybe been their best hitter all season. When I asked Rocco yesterday about Kirilloff moving up, Julian going down to two, he said, you know, just putting Eddie in a blender, shaking him up, and seeing what comes out the other side. Well, shout out to White Sox pitching, Ross, because Edward Julian's OPS jumped 100 points yesterday thanks to a 3-for-4 game of a home run and a double. So left-handed pitchers. I'll get into some X's and O's here in just a little bit, but some of these guys, Ross, are starting slowly, but starting to turn a corner at least to a degree.
Well, and Declan, as you know, this is a team historically that has really struggled with left-handed starters. I mean, not even to the tune of just, oh, well, they scored 3 or 4 runs today and lost. There are guys who are no longer in Major League Baseball that have made this lineup look foolish starting as a left-handed pitcher. So it's good to start to see some of those things. And Declan, what you touched on, to me, it's better with the names that you mentioned, Larnach, Julien, Kirilloff. These are guys who I think the Twins expect to be around at least 2 out of 3, maybe all 3 of them, to be around for quite some time. They're going to have to hit left-handed pitching, and it's been nice here in the last week or so, maybe more out of necessity, Declan, to see Rocco let Julien get some more at-bats against left-handed pitchers. And you go back to last year, we would see Julien get pulled in like the 4th inning when another pitcher came in and it was a lefty. We're starting to see, as far as him, a bit more of a leash in the batter's box, and I think that's good to see, because Declan, how can you get better if you never see it? And I think when you're off to such a slow start as the team has been, no better time than now just to let him sink or swing and figure it out.
So two things. Number one, I love your Julien. Is that the Ross Brendel Lakeville French coming through right here on the Score North Extra Innings podcast?
I feel like that's the Canadian pronunciation of Julien. And quick backstory, I was in Detroit last year. Stone's throw away from Windsor, Canada. A lot of Canadians come down. They love
much of Windsor in my St. Cloud State days. Oh, yes.
They love Edouard Julien.
Yeah.
And that's how they would pronounce it. So I'm just going with it. You know what?
Next time you
ask him. You say, Edouard Julien, is that how I pronounce your name?
Look, as someone whose name is Declan, which is catching on a little bit, it's still tough to pronounce. I'm not going to go up and ask about pronounce. I'm not going down. You're a Ross. You had it lucky, okay?
It's easy.
You're R-O-S-S, all right? Yeah. No one's going to screw that up. But specifically, Ross, and I know you're bringing up the point, too, of left-hander hitters versus left-handed starters, but in this case, obviously, White Sox are going to still throw a righty, so the Twins will still kind of logjam a lot of those lefties. But I wanted to ask Rocco still about, even when the lefties are facing the righties, which is going to happen a ton, you know, what can some of these adjustments start to look like? And Rocco gave me like this entire insane breakdown. This was mostly kind of off the record stuff, but you know, he basically amassed to a lot of the same points Trevor Plouffe pointed out on our episode on Tuesday, which is, look, some guys are going to go up there and they really want to yank fastballs. And this team historically, the last few years, has done a really good job at crushing fastballs. Well, baseball is a game of adjustments, and as we've seen in the first 20 games this season, opponents have adjusted to that. They're throwing them a lot more breaking balls. The Twins haven't been able to catch up. We've seen the hitting woes with the scoring position and just in general as a whole. So I think if guys, and we saw a little bit of it yesterday, and again, thank you to the White Sox, but I think if these guys like Larnick and Julian and Kirloff continue to make strides and continue to get out of some of their funks, and you have a surplus of lefties at the top of their order, which the Twins have four straight on Tuesday night batting in left-handed hitters at the top of their order. This lineup's going to crush right-handed pitching. So I do think some strides are being made there, and I'm curious to see if that can continue long-term throughout the year.
Well, and then I wonder, too, at this point in the season, Declan, 21 games in, how much of that is guys just starting to get their timing and feeling comfortable, and how much of that is maybe a concerted effort to change the approach and do things differently with how slow the offense has started. And again, yes, you're out Royce Lewis, one of your better hitters. You're out Carlos Correa, one of your better hitters. Max Kepler just got back. I understand that, but a lot of guys that the Twins have asked to step up and make plays, they are guys who are, they've all been, it's not like these are unproven players for the most part. They've all been here. Heck, even Santana's been, what, 13-year vet at this point? And that's a separate conversation, but yeah. He's continued. He's absolutely continued to struggle mightily. But I guess that's one thing I would like to know at this point, Declan, is a lot of the slow start offensively just because of poor approach, and has it been better in the last, I guess I don't know how much you can count the last White Sox game, but the last week it's been better. There were even games, Declan, against the Tigers where the Twins lost, but I felt better about the approach. You know, you weren't striking out 15 times looking. They were up there. They were extending at bats. So a part of me just wonders, is this the evolution of a season and a team that was starting slow, or what has been happening behind the scenes for the change here over the last, I guess I would say, 5 to 7 days?
So a couple games come to mind for me that are positive. So Saturday's game, this previous Saturday's game against the Tigers, I thought that was a, you know, small ball clinic of moving people over. There was three sacrifice flies in that game. You saw some things that I know sometimes we get a little bored about with Twins baseball playing the right way, but I mean, some of those things still have to happen. And I thought Saturday was a good sign of that. Yesterday, obviously, was phenomenal. They go up early. They continue. They just shut out the White Sox for, like, you know, their the eighth time already this season, which is, again, hard to be a White Sox fan or a player right now. But, yeah, this is a chance where you got three more against them this week. You have three more against them next week. This is kind of a get-right series. And I know I'm tongue-in-cheek with, you know, Edward Julian raising his OPS by 100 points, but I mean, this is needed right now. They've played an Orioles team that kicked their ass. They played a Dodgers team that's still one of the best in baseball, and they need to take care of business against the White Sox. And I think some of these offensive guys that can kind of exhale a little bit as they not just get their numbers up because it's an individual thing, but just to get some of their swings right. I mean, this is kind of glorified batting practice duty against some of these White Sox pitchers.
Well, and confidence matters, Declan. I mean, it doesn't really matter if you're taking on a hapless bunch like the White Sox currently are at this point. You'd rather be winning these games than not. I see it in the comments. Sweeping the Sox is like sweeping the 1962 Mets. Big deal. Yeah, for the Twins, this is kind of a damned if you do, damned if you don't series, right? Mm-hmm. You split to the White Sox, everybody jokes and says, oh, they'd won three games all year, and they leave town leaving with two or three wins. That would be awful. You win three out of four or sweep them, and everybody says, well, it's the White Sox. But I'd rather win three out of four or sweep them than have it the other way. And to your point, Declan, when you see them again, this feels like, even though it's early, it feels like 6 out of 7. I mean, you need to get 6 out of 7. Worst case scenario is probably 5 out of 7. Anything worse than that, I think you and I are having entirely different conversations about a week and a half from now. We'll see what happens in the game tonight. But even before the struggles at the beginning of the year, you would look at this series and say the Twins need to win 3 out of 4. I think they absolutely need to win 3 out of 4 in this series, if not all four. And we'll see where it goes. But to your point, Declan, it doesn't really matter how good the pitching is if they can't hit. I know we've said this both ways. Oh, yeah. We've also said, well, it doesn't matter how good the hitting is if they can't pitch. But you do need to marry those things together at the same time to be a good baseball team and start stringing wins together. And no better time than the present taking on a team that, boy, you think the Twins are struggling at the plate, and they are. I mean, you look at all the stats between these two teams right now, it's basically the White Sox and the Twins, 1-2 when you're talking about being worse in categories, but the White Sox are worse in most of them, so you got to take advantage here.
Yeah, luckily I got headphones on as a bunch of White Sox fans walk right by me, I think, as this podcast is taping live. Again, I'm in the belly of the beast at the Legends Club right now, so I think there's actually a tour that's going on probably right now at Target Field before the gates officially open. But, you know, to your point, and, you know, they get their three best pitchers. The Twins do the rest of this series. They'll get Pablo Lopez on Tuesday, Joe Ryan Wednesday. Bailey Obrez put that disastrous first start behind him, so that is a good sign. But at the end of the day, Ross, yeah, I mean, those starting pitchers should and hopefully should go, you know, 6-7 innings and limit to 1 or 2 runs. But if the lineup isn't working like we saw on Saturday or on Sunday and Friday of the Tiger series and just for the majority of the season, it's going to be all for naught. One last thing just on Trevor Larnach, because I do think – we talked about this a little bit with Plouffe today as well on our full episode, and hit that subscribe button. This is Score North Extra Innings. Trevor Larnach has come up here and really made a big difference. And before he has come up and he has popped up and he's done a really good job at hitting fastballs in his career, but it's the off-speed stuff, and that's what I talked to Rocco about. I said, what has stood out that's been different? Because, I mean, at this point, he's been up here 4 times the last few years. It hasn't worked. He's an 18th overall pick, and now it's kind of, it's now or never for Larnach. Plouffe brought the point up that, hey, maybe it's because it is now and never, it finally clicks for a guy, right? He doesn't have a safety net. He doesn't have the fallback of, I can go back and fix this and come back up. And Rocco touched on the fact of, I think his adjustment, again, on off-speed pitching is what has really made him look a little bit different and led to more success with this ball club. And just because, and there's Laney Liu, who wants some takes two on the left-handed pitching, just because you get a fastball and these guys have a tendency to yank it, you don't have to yank it over the fence. This is a simple hitting clinic, as Rocco told me. This is hitting 101. It's not just always pulling a fastball into the seats. It's getting the pitch you want and putting it where it's supposed to be, which is just in the damn play.
Yeah, and thank you. You just took the words right out of my mouth, Declan. I'm not trying to jump on anybody because analysts on TV, especially TV and the radio, they have a job to do. But I get very annoyed when you hear things like, oh, you know, Joe Ryan's got to be upset. That's such a tough luck hit he just gave up that turned into a run.
I'm with you here.
Yeah, well, okay, but they still put the ball in play, allowing for that tough luck hit to find an open spot in the outfield or the infield to move people over. And that's, Declan, a couple of the Twins' recent victories, even one over the Tigers that you talked about, that was solely a win because they were putting the ball in play and letting the Tigers kick the ball all around the field. A team can't kick the ball all around the field if you're striking out 10 to 15 times a game. So being able to at least put the ball in play and have outs that resemble baseball outs versus watching strikes go right down the middle, it sounds stupid and it's such an easy talking point to say, Declan, but it's a big thing for this team. If they can just avoid the strikeouts and keep putting the ball in play, good things can happen to them, too. They don't always have to be the hard luck team out there pitching, oh, woe is us, that had an exit velocity of 51 miles per hour and it turned into a double. Declan, newsflash, that could be the Twins, too. You just got to put the ball in play, and some of that stuff will start going your way. And hopefully we're starting to see a bit more of that. I've talked with you about it on this show and even just in passing. I don't believe this season's over by any stretch of the imagination. But you just got to keep hanging around. And with that, you also have to hope at some point you start to get healthier. And we're starting to see that. Hopefully Duran's close.
Yep.
The last reports on Correa and Lewis were good. Still no real time frame, but good that the reports there are good. But yeah, I'll scream it till I'm blue in the face. Just quit striking out so dang much and things will get better for you.
Agreed. Put the ball in play and good things can happen, as maybe the great Tim Lodner likes to say on the Bally Sports North pre- and post-game shows. Hey, actually, good injury update. You segued there a little bit. So Yoan Duran is pitching today, just down the green line, if you will, in St. Paul. So Duran is throwing for the St. Paul Saints for his rehab assignment today. When I got here at the ballpark around 2:45, Justin Topa, who was kind of one of the highlighted big league pieces in the Jorge Polanco trade from the Seattle Mariners, he was throwing his bullpen session. From what I gather, he will begin a rehab assignment most likely on Thursday. So that is also good news. And you're going to get two guys who are expected to be very high pecking order firemen in the bullpen, obviously Duran being the number one option. But you're going to get Justin Topa probably on a rehab assignment here in the next coming days. Yoan Duran is pitching in St. Paul, and I'm going to guess will join the team on the road trip. He probably won't be available for the next few games against the White Sox, and why should he? But yes, you brought up a good point. Those players, and Correa, yeah, I think beginning to start swinging. He's probably another week or so out, I would guess. I haven't heard the latest on that since last Saturday. But at least two bullpen arms in Duran and Topa we'll be back with the Twins probably pretty soon.
What do you think on Duran and Topa? I know you mentioned you think Duran will join on the road trip. Are we talking, since they've missed now, I guess it'll probably be about a month of the season, do you think we're talking like a 3-5 game rehab assignment? I mean, what does that look like? And I know for relievers, it's not like situational. A guy's not going to go down there and have to wait to get his turn. They'll find a way to get him in. But I do wonder on these guys how long they're going to send them down on rehab before they join the big club. I think right now, Declan, there's been some slip-ups recently, but I think the Twins, as far as at least pitching versus hitting, they maybe have a bit more time that they can wait if they wanted to let the guys limber up a little bit more. When it comes to hitting, it'll be very interesting to see how long, if Correa is coming back shortly, it'll be very interesting to see if he gets a rehab assignment and how long. I fully expect Royce Lewis will get one because I think we're still talking a fair amount of time before he's away.
Couple things. So I would imagine, and a lot of time with these pitchers, this isn't always the case. It's more of a pitch count rehab assignment than it is like an inning or an outing assignment. So I'm going to guess Duran, I don't know if he'll throw back-to-back days. He'll for sure pitch today. And at the very least, we'll pitch Thursday in St. Paul. And yeah, maybe he's held back to a degree, but I just think because they're traveling, I think they'll bring him with. So if all things go well on, you know, maybe it's Tuesday and today, tomorrow with Duran, then he comes back to the Twins and they hit the road on Thursday afternoon, late afternoon to go to California. He'll probably be on that road trip with Topa. Because he kind of had to have his spring training halted. That might be a little bit of a longer rehab assignment. And it's not in a situation where they need. The good thing about this Twins team is this bullpen's actually been pretty dang good outside of a couple blips. So it's not like they need Topa to come back and fire a couple rehab assignments, be ready to go and come back and go from there. But I would bet Duran's on the road trip. Topa might even stay back for the first, you know, part of, I think they're in LA and then Chicago, so he might maybe not even make the road trip. Maybe he joins them in Chicago, or maybe he just waits for them to come back here to Minnesota when they host the Red Sox in about 10 days' time. On Royce Lewis, stay tuned on that, actually, because I got some intel on that, and I'm going to share that hopefully tomorrow with Mackie and Judd, potentially. I was able to get some extra info on that, so that'll also be coming on a Score North Twin show later on.
How about that for a tease?
Yeah.
I'm honestly, when it comes to Royce, you just wish nothing but the best for him because he's been through so much. He's an absolute lightning bolt for this team. I mean, even him just being out there, he can go 0-for-4. His glove helps. There's a lot that he can do for this team that isn't just getting on base and in the batter's box. So hopefully that news you're teasing is that we'll see him sooner rather than later. And I also... same thing for Carlos Correa. I mean, we're starting to see it. I know Willy Castro's there more by necessity than anything else. But yeah, it's, again, you know, last week I think I ripped Jose Miranda. He's had some really nice defensive plays, so maybe he listens to extra innings and heard me say that. So maybe I need to rip Willy Castro so he quits out butchering balls behind second base, because that's been an adventure the last week. So getting those guys back, I think, would be key. And when you go to the ballpark, I mean, not to be mean or to, you know, throw shade at these other guys, when you go to the ballpark, you want to see Royce Lewis and Carlos Correa.
Oh, yeah,
so
absolutely.
let's get these guys healthy and get them back on the field.
Yeah, so stay tuned for that. That'll probably be on tomorrow's episode of a full edition with Mackie and Judd on the Score North Twin Show. This is Extra Innings. I think I got everything on my list here, Ross. Let me just double-check.
Okay, well, you're doing that. I'm going to start hitting you with some random baseball stuff, if you don't mind.
Okay,
We'll call them Extra Inning Quick Hitters, okay?
Okay, I like it, yeah.
Declan Goff's thoughts on Cracker Jacks.
I hate Cracker Jacks.
Yeah, me too.
Terrible.
Me too.
Terrible. I hate any type of cluster cereal. I'll starve before I eat that. I'm dead serious. I will starve to death before I eat that cluster type. I hate that crunch. I love me a good summer salad, but if there's nuts do not belong on salad. I mean, that's a very hot take. There should be no nuts. None. I don't want any crunch of that on a salad. It totally is off-putting. Can't stand it.
Okay, how about, why am I blanking? Croutons. You go with croutons?
Croutons. That's got a little bit of a crunch. That's okay.
You ever have the Ruby Tuesday salad bar?
I haven't been to a Ruby Tuesday since I was probably 10 years old, I feel like. Are those still around? I know that will happen to be sponsored on the Score North Twin Show if they are still around. But
last time I had one was on my way to Canada. I stopped in Fargo.
Okay.
They have those croutons that are like
crunchy
you eat them, but then they're soft. They're really good. But no, Cracker Jacks, Declan. Here's how I know the masses agree with us. Okay, I know it's buy me some peanuts and Cracker Jacks, blah, 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 blah. When you're actually at a game and you're looking around the crowd, nobody's eating Cracker Jacks unless they got them for free. I don't think anybody has paid for Cracker Jacks at a baseball game since 1942.
Yeah, I can't even think of, like, ever going to a game and even being around someone's like, I gotta go get some Cracker Jacks. Like, I would have some questions. I'd ask, like, what are you, gonna take your old-timey hat, too, and grab your cigar and pop up and wear your nice formal outfit to the baseball game? No, I can't.
That person who goes to get Cracker Jacks is also just crushing Werther's Originals all game long. All right, that's my random. That's my quick hitter for you. Is your list good?
I appreciate it. My list is good.
Perfect.
The last thing that was on there was some of the beat guys and some of the other reporters. We were talking about the Immaculate Grid, which we sometimes even do on the Score North Twin Show, and that conversation kind of carried in. So I, before the mics flipped on to do Rocco availability, I asked Rocco, I was like, "Do you ever do the Immaculate Grid?" And he goes, "We do it as a coaching staff. Some of the coaching staff they like to do it as together." And Rocco said he's not allowed to use himself. Which Rocco would, I think, only apply to, like, Rays, Red Sox. I don't know if he played for anyone else. I think it was just the Rays and the Red Sox. I might be blanking here. Anyway, Tommy Watkins, though, the third base coach, is allowed to be used because he's two big Immaculate Grids. This is a little cheater for you the next time you see this. He is, I believe, a 300 career hitter. He's a because he only came up here for 1 year. And if you need a third base twin square, Tommy Watkins also works. So they like to see it, and then they collaborate, and then they try to fill out the Immaculate Grid. So Rocco is an Immaculate Grid guy.
That's pretty impressive. I will tell you, I'll back you up. Rocco only that 1 year with Boston, the rest with Tampa Bay. So good work there.
Okay. Good to know. Yeah, actually, if I get a Red Sox Devil Ray square, I think, although that might be popular because he's a manager now. Maybe people know that. Not even 100% sure. But yeah, man, that's Score North Extra Innings. You can hit that subscribe button, hit that like button. My name's Declan Goff. That's Ross Brendel. You can expect Ross. You can expect AJ. The sports dad jumps on here from time to time. Alex Westad made his debut over the weekend. Manny Hill will likely join for other episodes, too. So hit that subscribe button. This is Score North Extra Innings. We'll be talking at you later this week.